All right. Well, we certainly are thankful for the privilege just to have come and showed our video and just be able to speak to you tonight. We'd ask you, if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them after the service, just about perhaps the ministry or anything that interests you there about what's going on in the Philippines. We thank the Lord for what's happening there. Thank the Lord for what He is doing and what He is accomplishing. And we'd, again, ask you to pray for us as we continue to try and just seek His leadership and His guidance in our life as we go back, as far as what particular place to start a church in there on the island of Leyte, and as we continue to try and finish this campsite project. We just praise the Lord for all that He's done and give Him the honor for everything that He has accomplished. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I want to read, we've already read the verses, but we want to review verse 17 here before we begin. Exodus chapter 13, we come into the kind of the middle of the story here. Kind of the middle of the incident in the life of the children of Israel. And what's happened here is after Pharaoh, and the Lord has put Pharaoh through all of the different plagues and so forth, he's finally decided, I'm going to let the children of Israel go. And so he begins that, and the Lord begins this leadership role again, a different leadership role really in the life of the children of Israel as he leads them out of Egypt. He's going to direct them and lead them where he wants them to go. And this is something, I guess, that is dear to my heart at this point in life. I want God's leadership. I believe we all should desire to be under the leadership of God in our life as He leads us through life, as we make decisions for us personally, as we make decisions for our families. What better leadership to be under than the leadership of God in our life? And here the children of Israel are. We're kind of picking up in the middle of the story, headed out of Egypt, and God is going to lead them in a somewhat unusual way. But it is what we want to be reminded of this evening, the best way, the perfect way. And here in verse 17, let's begin here, talking about God's leadership. In verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." And if you underline in your Bible, I highlight or underline sometimes that there's a statement here that really caught my attention and is really the purpose of the message this evening. In verse 17, it says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. And I thought that phrase interesting. In other words, I began to look at that and think about it and began to really meditate upon it and wonder why it is there. Why would he tell them, "I did not lead them by the way of the Philistines"? Why wouldn't he just skip to verse 18 and tell us where he led them, not where he did not lead them? Why would he tell us that the land of the Philistines was the nearest way and just skip that information and just go ahead and begin at verse 18 and said, "I led them this particular place"? But I believe there's a purpose here, as there is for every verse that you see in the Word of God. I believe there's something that the Lord is trying to teach me and trying to teach you, and I believe it's about the leadership of God in our lives. And the first thing we want to notice about God's leadership, first of all, here in verse 17 is very simple. God's leading is perfect. God's leading is perfect. Would you agree with me this evening? I want to make sure you stay awake. Amen? God's leading is perfect. Very simple. You say, "Well, that's simple, John. I know that. I understand that. Let's just move right along because we got that covered." We know that's the truth. And we do. We say amen. We agree with it. We understand it. But I tell you, sometimes it's difficult to believe. Would you agree with that? Sometimes it's difficult to believe because sometimes God's leadership leads us to places that perhaps are contrary to where we want to be and what we want to be doing. Sometimes we have an idea, and I believe we see two things just simply in these verses. We first of all see man's opinion, and then we also see in verse 17 God's omniscience. And man's opinion and God's omniscience, as we decide about what we'll do in life, what we will do in life, as we decide where we will go in life and what will allow God to accomplish in and through us in life and His leadership as to whether or not we'll submit to it. There's always two options. There's my opinion. There's what I want to do. There's what I think is proper and what I think is right. And then there's God's omniscience, God's perfect way. And he begins here and he says, this is the perfect way. And he emphasizes it, I believe, by first of all, revealing to everyone that reads the verse, especially to us and to me here this evening, that he understands man's understanding. He understands really what man would be thinking. And he says that by this in verse 17. He says, "God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." I believe this represents man's opinion or man's perspective of the situation. In other words, God wants the children of Israel to know. He wants us to know here this evening. I know what the children of Israel were thinking. If you would have asked the average Israelite that knew anything about the direction that they needed to go and how they needed to get there, if you would have asked the average probably Egyptian there which way would be the best way, which way would be the nearest way, which way would be, shall we say, the most logical way, I believe that this represents what man's perspective or man's opinion would have been as far as which way the children of Israel should have traveled to reach the destination that God wanted them to reach. I believe the average person in that day of time, God knew it. God knew it to be true. That's why he mentions it here in Scripture. He says, I didn't lead you by the way of the land of the Philistines, although I know it was the nearest way. I know probably there was a lot of Israelites and perhaps even Egyptians wondering, well, why are you heading across the wilderness? You see, the way that God did lead the children of Israel was not a well-trodden path. In fact, it was a very unusual way. There was no Egyptians really that would be able to, you'd be able to hire to guide you across that way. It just wasn't a commonly traveled path. There was no clear pathway to go across the wilderness to reach the destination that God wanted them to go. And so it was extremely unusual, illogical, you might say, unrational for them to go this way. Man's opinion, I believe, is represented clearly here by God as he mentions, I didn't lead you the way everybody else would have led you. I didn't do it the way that perhaps you thought was the logical and maybe the best way for you to do it. I didn't even do it the easy way or the nearest way. I did it exactly the opposite of what man's opinion was. I did it God's way. Why? Because I am omniscient, not you. And that's hard to understand sometimes. That's hard for even me. I'll be the first to raise my hand. Because, you know, as a human being, as an individual, I'll be the first to admit, I am pretty impressed with my opinions most of the time. How about you? Would you agree with me? We are pretty impressed with our opinions most of the time. Average person is impressed with their opinion. We have our opinion about politics. We have our opinions about other things in life. And most of the time, we're pretty impressed with our opinion. And most of the time, we have the attitude, well, that's okay. You can have your opinion. You have a right to be wrong. Amen? But it's my opinion that I believe is proper and right. I'll never forget the day and time, and I feel old talking about this. I feel old Andy standing up here and calling me Mr. Wynn. Just call me John. Don't call me Mr. Wynn. That makes me feel old. Makes me feel like the other Wynn guy that's there in the Philippines. I'm far from being that age, and so you just call me John or something. Don't call me Mr. Wynn. That just makes me feel so old. But I remember the day when I was on deputation, and we did not have these GPS things. You know what? Everybody knows what a GPS is. You're ignorant if you don't know. I found that out. And when I come back to the States and you have all these new gadgets and you don't know what they are, people just kind of look at you like, where have you been? And we did not have GPS. We could not just type the address into this little gadget and then it talk us to the place step by step. And I can remember that the thing that comes to my mind when I think about the direction God led the children of Israel, it was inevitable at that time when you would be going to a new church, you would call the church and the pastor would tell you to talk to the church secretary. And the church secretary would begin to give you instructions, directions as to how to get to that church. And that can be a very interesting process. Several of you, I believe Brother Rick has been on deputation and others perhaps here. That can be a very interesting process, getting directions from the church secretary. Ladies seem to have a tendency to be very descriptive in their directions. And when you call and you get the directions and you begin to write, sometimes you can have 2 to 3 pages of different descriptive descriptions of landmarks and various other things that you're supposed to look for on this road and that road. And you get the directions to go there and you have this opinion of this lady. And so inevitably, though, when you get to the church and you follow the leadership and you follow the direction that has been given to you, inevitably, you're standing at the back shaking hands after the service, and somebody will come up to you and say, well, where'd you come from? I say, well, I came from Virginia. Well, how'd you come? And you tell them the direction that you came, and you know what always happens, never fails, that somebody knew a better way you could have come. So, oh, well, I could have saved you 45 minutes. I could have saved you an hour. Really? Well, amen. That's a blessing to know now that I'm here. But we all have our opinions. We all have our opinions. And as I said, I'll be the first to admit this evening, we're pretty impressed. And I find that as we deal with people in the Philippines, I find that even in my own life, one of the greatest hindrances to me knowing exactly what God wants me to do in life and every decision that I make for myself personally and every decision many times that I make for my family, for the ministry, one of the greatest hindrances that we have as human beings is our own simple opinions and our own ideas about what we think is right. We allow it to cloud our thinking. We allow it to cloud the clear direction of God's word. And God clearly says, I know what you're thinking. I know really what the average person would tell you is the right choice to make. I know going through the land of the Philistines would be the most logical thing. It would be the nearest thing, perhaps the easiest thing. But he said, I want you to know that I am omnipotent, not you. I know everything. And he shares his omnipotence here in verse 17. He says here, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He said, I'll not lead you that way because I know you can't handle it. I'll not lead you that way because you're going to have a very difficult time going that way. And it's not the best way for you at this point in time in your life as a nation. It's not the best way for you to go. It may seem the most logical way. You may be able to justify why you would go that way because it is the nearest way. But he said, it's not the best way for you because I know if you go that way, many of you can't handle it. You'll leave and you'll come back and you won't continue to follow me. See, God is omniscient. And man, if I could just get that through my head, if we could all just get that into our hearts and in our minds, that it is God that knows what's best, and we would follow his direction by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. My, his leadership is wonderful this evening. It's perfect. Not only is it perfect, but his leadership is perceivable. It's perceivable. You meet a lot of people as you travel, a lot of our young people and even adults there in the Philippines, searching for God's will, wanting to know God's will in their life. Begging God, God, show me your will, show me your way, allow me to know it. The Bible says here in verse 20, it says, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. They began to follow God's leadership by faith. They began to follow God's leadership, even going in a direction that was quite opposite of what seemed to be the normal way, the nearest way, the most logical way. And it says here they began to follow him, and his leadership was perceivable. In verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. His leadership was perceivable. There was no second guessing. And what I mean by that is simply this. There was no children of Israel, none of the children of Israel, none of the members of the nation of Israel could say at that day and time, Lord, I'd follow you across the wilderness. I would follow your leadership, but I just can't find it. I don't know which way to go. None of the children of Israel could point their finger at God and say, God, I'd follow you across the wilderness. I'd follow you in the way that you are leading me, but I just can't figure out which way to go. No, there was a cloud above them, the Bible said. There was a cloud above them. There was a clear indication about which way God wanted them to go. It was perceivable. Now, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, let me just read it. I won't take the time to turn there. But 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2, Paul says over there, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. A lot of times in our Sunday school lessons, we see this cloud as a little tiny cloud out in the front of the children of Israel. But according to Paul, it was something that all of the fathers were under. In other words, it was a huge cloud that covered the nation of Israel and led them in the way that God wanted them to go. Clearly, his way and his will was perceivable. My, if I want to know God's will today, if I want to know his direction in my life, if I want to know what he wants me to do and what decision I should make, his will is perceivable even to us in 2011. This is our cloud this evening. We do not have a literal cloud in the sky that guides us across the way that God wants us to go. But this is my cloud this morning. It is the Spirit of God through the Word of God that will guide me in what decisions I need to make personally for my own life. It will guide me in the decisions I need to make for my family. It will guide me in my decisions that I need to make for the ministry in the Philippines. It is our cloud this evening. It is perceivable to know God's will. But many times, again, we go back to point number one. Many times I allow my own opinion and my own ideas to get in the way and to cloud or make it foggy where I can't really see the guidance of God that is so perceivable by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. This evening it is perceivable. It is perceivable. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that we can know His will. And His will is a wonderful place to be. I believe if we were to testify, each one that is a child of God, and you know that you know you're where God wants you to be, it's a wonderful place to be. It's a great place to be. It's a peaceful place to be. It's a perceivable place to be. It's perceivable because God has prepared it. He's made it possible for us to know it and to see it. He said there was a cloud in the day. There was a pillar of fire at night that guided them. It is a perceivable way. The way is a day-by-day way. God's will is not something that we just come forward and we find out once and then we're set for the rest of our life. It's a day-by-day thing. The interesting thing here about the verse also that we notice in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. God's will, God's guidance in their life was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing. It wasn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night thing, or a Wednesday night thing. It was a 24-hour day. In other words, they went to bed at night knowing they were right where God wanted them to be. And they woke up in the morning under the cloud knowing they were exactly where God wanted them to be. It wasn't just something they, well, on Sunday I'll give God a few hours, on Wednesday I'll give Him a few hours. No, it was a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day thing, where they stayed where God wanted them to be, and they went and did and lived like God wanted them to be and what God wanted them to do. My, God's leading is wonderful. God's leading is a 24-hour-a-day, day-by-day thing that God blesses us with the privilege to be a part of. It's perceivable. It's perfect. It's perceivable. And not only that, His leading is promising. And we don't have time really to do this. Let's read some verses over here in chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 12, we'll read these verses, say one thing, and then we'll be done. But God's leadership is promisable. It's promising, I'm sorry. In verse 12 of chapter 14, if you read verses 14 down through verse 11, chapter 14 down through verse 11, you'll know that they came to the Red Sea. This is under God's guidance. God's leadership is promising. It's not always easy, but it is promising. And they, under the leadership of God and following Him by faith and 24 hours a day just following God's leadership, they came to the Red Sea. And you remember the story. When they got to the Red Sea, it wasn't an easy time. It wasn't a calm time. It wasn't even an enjoyable time, really. They got to the Red Sea, and you remember what happened. They hear that Pharaoh is coming after them with 600 of his best soldiers. And they're not coming to help them in any way. They're coming to harm them, obviously. He's changed his mind, and here they are, and they're there at the Red Sea behind them, and Pharaoh behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and no way humanly possible that they can overcome the situation. And a lot of times, I know in the Philippines, there's this misconception that if I just follow God's will, everything will be grand, and everything will be wonderful. And that's not always true in our life. Not always true. There's sometimes when God's leading and God's direction will lead us to difficult times. But what should we do during those times? Should we turn back? Should we stop? Should we then decide, hey, I'm just going to follow my own opinion? No, we should keep on. The Bible says in verse 12, the children of Israel begin to react in a normal human way. In verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? The children of Israel say to Moses, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen this day, seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. My, this evening, as we come to difficult times in our lives, may we continue to remember God's will is perfect, God's leading is perfect. It's perceivable, and it's promising. It may lead us to difficult times. It may lead us to things that aren't necessarily enjoyable at times. They're difficult. They're trying. Sometimes they'll scare us to death, almost. Sometimes they're frightening. But God simply says, that's where I will work. And He says, continue to go forward and follow me because my leading is perfect. And God's leading is promising. He protects them. If you read on down through the verses, he does deliver the children of Israel. It's promising as he provides for the children of Israel. If you continue studying the life of the children of Israel, he protects them, he provides them. And we could go on and on that as they followed God, they followed God's perfect, perceivable leadership. Oh, it was so promising. And God blessed them. And I'd ask you to pray for us as a family. I'd ask each one of us here this evening. This is nothing new to each of you. This is nothing that is a great revelation this evening, but I tell you, it's something that if we could get a hold of in our life, if we could follow in our life, oh, his leadership is promising. It's difficult sometimes, leads us to difficult places, but oh, the wonderful promises of God are always true no matter where he leads us. And may we follow his leadership. We would ask you to pray for us as a family as we go back to the field that we would follow God's leadership wherever he would lead us. We'd ask you to pray for your own selves, and we pray for each other that we would continue to follow him. His leadership is absolutely perfect this evening. In the life of the children of Israel, you studied their life, their history. You'll learn that all the time that they followed him, and they didn't always do it, and neither do we. But all the time that they did follow him and his perfect leadership, his perceivable leadership, it was such a wonderful time in the nation of Israel, and God blessed them so much, and he'll do the same for us this evening. Are you following his leadership? Do you know his will for your life? If you don't, he wants to reveal it to you. And he does that by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Would you search it to know it? It is perfect. It is perceivable. And it's for sure a promising way of life, and God will bless it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the privilege to be here in this great church and just these wonderful people. We thank you for the privilege to have been a part of their missionary family for more years than we really know. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them as they continue to follow your leadership and the pastor here. And we just thank you so much for them. And I pray that you would just bless the work here. Pray that you bless the work there in the Philippines as we seek to represent the church here properly there and for your honor and for your glory. And I pray that you'd lead each one of us that are present here, that we would desire to know the perceivable will of God, the perfect will of God, the promising plan of God for our life, that you would help us as we follow you to trust you, that even when things get difficult, we just go forward. We continue to go and to follow and enjoy the protective, providing, promising will of God for our lives. Thank you for your words. Speak to hearts. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.